story this week is one which I think has universal appeal. It concerns a wanderer who loathed responsibility in his meeting with a very lonesome little boy. To play the wanderer, we have one of America's favorite actors, and I may say, one of America's favorite sons. He needs no further introduction than just, here is Pat O'Brien.
Thank you very much, Les. You know, I like this story, and I like the fellow the story's about. I just hope the audience does, too.
Well, I don't have much doubt about that, Pat. Incidentally, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fellow who is going to play the fellow in the story right after the final curtain.
Fine, Les. After the final curtain, I'll talk.
Good. The curtain rises in just a moment. Is up, and here is the play.
Well, let's see. Hamburger and coffee. That'll be 30 cents.
Thanks.
Say, you're a stranger around here, ain't you? In town for the rodeo? Here's your change.
No, just driving through. Rodeo's in town, huh? In one of the towns, so quiet.
You know, you ought to look in on our rodeo if you're not in a hurry to get where you're going.
Nah, I'm never in a hurry, so maybe I will. I haven't seen a rodeo since I was a kid. Hi there, small fry. Hey, you're sitting on the curb there. You tell me how to get the rodeo?
Yeah. You going to the rodeo, mister?
I wasn't asking for fun, son.
Well, you drive straight up. What did you call me?
I believe I said son. Why, didn't mean anything personal. Why?
I just wondered. Maybe I'd better show you the way. Sure to get there.
Oh, no, you don't have to bother. Just tell me how.
Gosh, it's no bother. I just go along for the ride.
Well, you're in. And from the looks of that red hair and jaw, I won't get anywhere trying to argue you out.
Yeah, I'm like that. You got red hair, too. You notice that right away.
Yeah, most people do.
Most people might think we was father and son.
Now, is that just conversation, or does it have to do with the fact that today is Father and Son's Day at the rodeo?
Well, as long as you're going to the rodeo anyhow, and I don't have a father to take me.
You'd like to borrow me for the afternoon?
Gee, you catch on quick, mister.
No, not at all. I was a kid myself once. Pull the same stunt lots of times to get into baseball games.
Then, if you're not taking your own kids...
No, I'm all alone in the world, my boy. Just a drifter, a homeless gypsy.
Gosh, you must be a bum.
No, I would call that, among less complimentary terms.
My dad was a bum, too. You turn left right here, mister.
The name is Nick Conway, son.
Mine's Danny Foster, Pop.
Now, look, I haven't said I'd agree to your little deal. Frankly, I'd feel a lot safer if I bought you a ticket.
No, Mom said she'd give me the money if I wanted to go. It wouldn't be any fun unless I had a father, like other kids. You see what I mean, don't you?
I think so, but, well, look, Bud, I don't know anything about being a father.
Well, you catch on quick. There's nothing to it. All you gotta do is fuss about buying me so much popcorn and say you'll never take me any place if I don't behave.
Third bag of popcorn at that moment, or was it the fifth hot dog?
Another pot. Maybe we ought to have another hot dog before we start.
No,
home.
Not another bit. If you don't stop pestering me, I'll never. I really do catch on quick.
Gosh, we're not getting anywhere through this moss. Let's pretend we're Notre Dame and go right through that line.
Hold on, Sonny. That's my arm you're tearing off. Well, I'll be doggone. It's Nick Conway. How are you, Nick?
Hello there, Mr. Trumbull. You're the last person I expected to run into out here at a rodeo.
I flew out for the weekend on business. But when I heard there was a rodeo in town, I sneaked away for the afternoon. Only wish I had my youngest boy along.
Yeah, it's Father and Son's Day.
And this fine little lad is your son, of course. That red hair is a dead giveaway. How are you, son?
Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, I'm fine, Mr. Trumbull. I heard Pop mention you lots of times.
Well, you have? Right, little fellow, Nick. Well, I'm glad to hear you're finally settled down.
Well, I haven't changed that much. You see, Danny...
Nick, I'll have to rush now. Why don't you and your wife have dinner with me this evening at the Hotel Granada, say at 7?
I'm afraid that's impossible. You see, Danny...
Hey, Pop, you know, Mom would love to have dinner at the Granada. You can leave me at the Casey's again.
Now, wait a minute. What do you think
of... Don't scold the boy, Nick. That's very unselfish of him, offering to stay at the neighbor's so that his mother can get away for an evening of pleasure.
What I'm trying to explain is
No, we won't argue about it anymore. I'll expect you and Mrs. Conway into the Granada at 7 o'clock.
You're mad at me, Nick. Aren't you going to talk to me anymore?
I'm not mad at you. I'm merely sitting quiet until I can drop you on your own doorstep and hightail it out of town.
But you can't do that. You promised Mr. Trumbull.
I made no promises. I let you talk me into being your father for the afternoon, but that's as far as it goes. Have we almost reached your house?
Yeah, it's that little gray house on the next corner. Look, Nick, can't you change your mind?
Absolutely not. I've had enough trouble playing father to a make-believe son this afternoon. A make-believe wife, well, that'd be just too much.
There's Mom standing out in front. I bet she's looking for me.
With a paddle, I trust.
Isn't she pretty, Nick? Sort of like Betty Grable, huh? Blonde and everything.
I'm surprised she isn't gray-haired. Saddled with a character like you.
Hey, Mom! Here I am! Gee, have I had fun!
Danny, where have you been? I've been so worried.
Mom, this is Nick Conaway. He pretended he was my father and took me to the rodeo and... Gosh, he's swell. He made a lot better father than old Doc Pitchard. See? He's even got red hair like me.
Hey, pipe down, will you? You want the whole neighborhood.
Yeah. And we met a nice guy named Mr. Trumbull. And Mom, he invited you and Nick to have dinner with him at the Granada at 7. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Mom? Huh?
Oh, Danny, what have you been up to now?
You could wear that pretty blue dress you bought at Hope and... Maybe Doc Pritchard would take it someplace on New Year's Eve. Well, he didn't. And I could stay at the Casey's.
Danny, will you...
There's Bush now. I'll ask his mother. Hey, Bush, ask your mother. Can I stay with you tonight? I'll tell Mom's got to go to a date.
Oh, Danny.
Mrs. Foster, I'm sorry about this.
Oh,
but,
not as sorry as I am, Mr.
Conway.
Conway. I don't know what it's all about, but if Danny's caused you any trouble...
Oh, no, it wasn't any trouble. Hey, it's not much, but, well, it's a long story. Perhaps I'd better come in for a moment and explain.
Yes, I bought the Glenview Times last year, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about tonight, Nick.
Yes, why me?
Well, you worked for me on the Journal 10 years ago, Nick. Best reporter I ever had, too. Except for one thing, you couldn't stand prosperity. But now, anyone can see the changes that having a wife and son to support have made in you. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, Mrs. Conway, that Nick isn't the same man you married.
No, Mr. Trumbull, Nick isn't the same man at all.
Exactly. I knew that the moment I saw him at the rodeo today. And that's why I decided on the spot to offer you the post of managing editor of the new setup on the Times.
Did you say managing editor?
Oh, I know you have the ability, Nick. All you needed was ambition and a feeling of responsibility to curb your restlessness. Well, you have them now in Mrs. Conway and Danny.
Mr. Trumbull, I don't know what to say. I appreciate your offer, of course, but
I don't want an answer right now, Nick. You'll want to talk it over with your wife first. Now, my plane leaves at 4 on Monday afternoon. And if I haven't heard from you by that time, why, the job goes to Tom Gregg.
Well, perhaps you'd better...
No, no more business tonight. Oh, say, that music sounds delightful. Why don't you and Mrs. Conway dance?
Would you like to dance, Al?
Well, if Mr. Trumbull doesn't mind our leaving him alone...
Why, no, of course not. You folks go right ahead and enjoy yourselves.
Gate seems to need oiling, Ellen. That lower hinge broken?
It sprung, I think. Danny and his pals like to swing on the gate.
I noticed that top porch step is in bad shape, too. That ought to be fixed before you or Danny take a tumble.
Oh, the whole place needs repairs, Nick. Danny tried to patch things up for me, but I'll have to hire someone to do the job properly.
That would be best. Well, everything seems serene, so I'll say goodnight here, Ellen.
Yes, it's quite late. I'm glad Mrs. Casey was able to let you have a room, Nick.
Yeah, Danny fixed that up, too. Nice room, you know. It's kind of like home.
Will you be starting early, Nick?
No, not unless I feel like getting up early. That's the nice thing about traveling light, Ellen. Never being in a hurry to get where I'm going.
Dan used to say that, too. Well, I'm always up early, Nick, even on Sundays, so why not have breakfast with us before you leave?
Oh, Danny's already arranged that. I guess he was afraid I might slip away without saying goodbye.
Danny takes care of everything. Nick, I don't know how to thank you for this wonderful evening.
Don't try. It was wonderful for me, too. Something I'll never forget. Ellen.
Yes?
Perhaps I'd better be going.
Yes, perhaps you should.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Borrowed Father, starring Mr. Pat O'Brien. Right now, here's our announcer.
Mean? It's only 9. It's early for me. Gee, I hope your mother hasn't been holding up breakfast.
It isn't quite ready yet.
What is all this junk cluttering up your front porch?
It isn't junk. It's my electric train set. Something's wrong with it, and I thought maybe it'd be a good idea for me to work on it.
Say, that's a dandy locomotive there. Looks like the same kind I had when I was a kid, but a better model.
I've got 2 fast freights, a streamliner, and 87 feet of track.
Yeah, I see. Oh, this is a set. What seems to be wrong with it?
Gosh, I don't know, Nick. Really, it just doesn't go. So I thought I'd take this apart.
Here. No sense in wrecking that transformer. Better check the wiring?
No, I didn't think of that.
Well, these switches, you know, they're delicate contraptions, too. Say, is there any place we can set this thing up and try it out?
I hate to interfere with the wheels of industry, but I've been holding breakfast for 2 hours.
In a minute, Ellen. Open up that spur, Danny. I'm coming in to pick up those coal cars.
This is absolutely the last call for breakfast. If you aren't at the table in 5 minutes, I'm going to clear everything away and start dinner.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Maybe we better eat, Danny. Holy smoke, it's almost noon.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
I should have started on my way 2 hours ago.
It's a good thing you aren't in a hurry, huh, Nick? My train's all fixed up good as new now. Gosh, Nick, you sure are swell fixing things. This old bike's just like new. Thanks a million.
Oh, you're welcome. Just as long as they don't drag out any more wrecks for me to fix. Uh-oh, just a minute. As long as the tools are out, I may as well fix that gate. Shouldn't take long.
Yeah, that old gate sure needs fixing, Nick.
Danny, Nick, my rope will be ruined.
Coming. Ellen, listen to this.
Oh, Nick, that sounds wonderful. How on earth... Oh!
Ellen. Oh, Ellen. Are you hurt?
Gosh, Mom must have tripped on that broken step.
Oh, no, I'm all right. I caught myself in time.
Yeah, this time you did, but you might have been hurt. Well, that settles it. I got to fix that step before I leave.
Oh, but it's almost dark, Nick, and dinner's ready.
There's still enough light. Dinner can wait a little longer, can't it?
Well, yes. Nick, we've imposed on you enough. You've delayed your start and spent the whole day doing chores.
Yeah, but Nick wants to fix that step, Mom. Gosh, you might have broken your neck or something. Anyhow, it's too late for him to start anywhere now.
Looks like Danny's done it again, Ellen. You know something? I wonder just which one of us did the most fixing around here today. Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. I guess I ought to be shoving off. Oh, you've had a hard day, Ellen.
Oh, you've had the hard day, Nick. You work like a beaver around here.
Well, my muscles are telling me about it now. Funny thing, too, you know. Usually I'm a lazy tramp, Ellen. Somehow I didn't mind doing odd jobs for the tasty meals you handed out.
You're not lazy, Nick. Just, well, aimless.
Isn't that the same thing?
No. If you had someone or something to work for, I wish... No, I'm almost as bad as Danny.
If you're going to urge me to stay and take that job at Trumbull's, please don't, Ellen. It's hard enough to resist Danny, but you...
I wouldn't urge you to do anything that you didn't want to do.
Ellen, I think I better go now.
Yes, I think you should. Danny leaves for school at 8:30, so I'll expect you for breakfast around 8.
Ellen, I'd like to get an early start, just as early as possible, so I'll say goodbye to Danny out in front, stop for breakfast somewhere along the way.
I see. Well, in that case, I'll say goodbye now, Nick, and thanks for everything.
Ellen, I... Oh, darling, how can I say goodbye to you now?
Oh, you'll stay now, won't you, Nick? Danny and I both want you to so much.
No, Ellen. No, I'd be no good at all for either of you. Danny told me his father was a bum like me. Probably you were just a kid when you married him. But you know better now.
You're not a bum, Nick. Mr. Trumbull said you'd change.
Because he thought I had a wife and child now. I haven't changed, Ellen. I never will. I don't want to be tied down to a job and family.
I see. I'm sorry. I misunderstood, Nick.
I want you to forget I ever existed. This Dr. Pritchard you work for, Danny said he wanted to marry you.
Yes, but Alvin's almost 50.
That isn't important. He's a doctor. He's steady and reliable and probably well off. He can give you security for Danny as well as yourself. Marry him, Ellen.
Yes, I think I shall. Would you mind leaving now, Nick?
I'm going. Tell Danny goodbye for me, will you?
But you promised to see him in the morning.
I'd rather not. I want to be up at dawn to get an early start.
Okay, Bub, what'll it be?
I'll fill her up, I guess. Check the tires, will you?
Yes. It looks like this bus has seen plenty of travel. Heading for California?
Maybe.
Just bumming around, huh?
Anything wrong with that?
No, not a thing, Bud. Say, you got a dog or something in your luggage compartment, Bud?
No, why?
Well, I heard a sneeze or something. It's open about 2 inches, Bud.
There is. I haven't opened it for 2 days. Make sure it's locked now.
Yeah, I heard it again.
Yeah, so did I. Danny, how on earth... What are you doing in there?
It wasn't locked, Nick. I crawled in it this morning early.
Must have been early. I started at dawn, but Danny, your mother...
I wrote a note and said I was going with you.
That won't keep her from worrying. Now get out of there and come up and putt with me. How much for that gas? Never mind checking the tires.
$3.46, Bob.
You aren't taking me home, are you?
No, take as far as the next town. And I'll phone your mother and tell her I'm sending you home on the first available bus.
Won't do any good. I'll just run away again.
Danny, how can you do a thing like this to your mother? You know how much she loves you.
She likes you too, Nick. But you wouldn't stay. I heard you talking about it last night.
Oh, so that's how you found out I was planning to leave early, huh? Well, that's altogether different, Danny. You belong to Ellen. You're supposed to take care of her.
She'll have old Doc Pritchard down. You were talking awful loud, Nick. I heard you tell her to marry him.
That'll be all for the best. He'll take care of you both.
Not me, won't. I hate him.
Danny, that's no way to talk.
He hates me, too. He told Mom I was mean and noisy and said when they were married he'd send me to military school to learn discipline.
Oh, he did he?
Nick, you won't send me back, will you, huh? I'll try to be good, honest. I want to stay with you, Nick.
Oh, now, look, you're not crying. I hope you're too big for that, Danny.
Who's crying? I just got a cold.
Well, why don't you use your handkerchief? Got one? Wait a minute, here's mine. Now, blow hard. Holy smokes, you look at you. I got to get you cleaned up somehow before I send you back to your mother.
I won't go. Nick, let me stay with you, please. Don't you like me a little?
Oh, well, you cut that out. I feel bad enough sending you back.
Oh, Nick, Ma won't need me anymore. She'll have Doc Pritchard, so we'll stick together.
You're certainly sticking tight enough now. Let go my neck and sit back there so I can talk sense to you. Now, look, I can't take you with me, Danny. I haven't any home, no job.
Gosh, I think you're swell, Nick. I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Just like me, huh? That's fine. Now, what am I going to do about that?
Just say I can stay with you, Nick.
Okay, Danny. You win, as usual. We'll stick together.
Oh, boy, that's swell. Won't we have fun? Where are we heading now?
Back to Glenview.
Glenview?
First, we'll stop at the next town for your mother. Thank you, Eber. Hello? Hello, Ellen? This is Nick.
Oh, Nick. Is Danny
okay? He's okay, Ellen. Stowed away in the luggage compartment. Didn't find him until half an hour ago.
Nick, why should he run away? I must have failed him somehow.
No. You're not to blame. Everything's going to be all right. We're on our way back now. And Ellen?
Yes?
It's 2:10. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to phone Trumbull and tell him I'm taking that job.
You're sure that's what you want?
Sure. There isn't anything else I can do.
I don't see what you...
Well, you know how Danny always gets what he wants.
Oh, if that's what Danny wants, I shan't even try to resist. Oh, darling, hurry home, won't you?
Will I? Will I? Wait and see. For once, honey, I'm in a hurry to get home.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Borrowed Father, starring Mr. Pat O'Brien, who returns in just a moment. Thank you very much, Pat O'Brien, for a sincere and a very capable performance.
I'm glad you like it, Les. But I can't take too much credit for it, I'm afraid, because the character in the story is the kind of a guy I like, and one that fortunately I've met, well, pretty often.
Well, from what I understand about one Mr. Pat O'Brien, about every time he looks in a mirror, he sees a fellow pretty much like the one in the story. A guy who likes kids, in fact, has four youngsters of his own, and a fellow who's very, very much interested in the activities and opportunities for youngsters.
Well, you're right on that score, Les. I do like youngsters. And I like doing things for and with them.
I think that's pretty well brought out in the type of pictures you make, Pat. For instance, the story of Newt Rockne, who certainly made a great contribution to the youth of America.
You're absolutely right, Les. You know, I'm pretty keen also about this country we live in and the opportunities it has for the kids.
I suppose that it's just a coincidence that a lot of your motion pictures happen to deal with what we've just been talking about.
Not on your life. I like to make pictures around sports. Kids, fellas who've done things for youngsters, and I particularly like to do biographical things like Newt Rockne.
Well, you make them, Pat, and keep on playing in them, and I'm pretty certain that motion picture fans in this country will keep coming to see them as they have in the past. And now, thank you very much for being with us, and I hope we can do this all over again before too long.
Oh, this was lots of fun for me, Les. Believe me. Before I leave, I want to thank young Henry Blair, who played my son, and Betty Arnold, who played my wife, and the rest of the cast for terrific performances. Goodbye now.
Goodbye, Pat O'Brien. In our cast, you heard Mr. Pat O'Brien as Nick, Betty Arnold as Ellen, Henry Blair as Danny, Herb Rawlinson as Trumbull, and Paul Conrad as the counterman. Borrowed Father was written by Marguerite Jacobs. Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Next week, I'm going to try the lead in a most interesting drama. And in coming programs, we'll present such favorite stars as Miss Ann Dvorak, Barbara Britton, Eddie Bracken, Cesar Romero, and many, many others in excellent plays we feel certain you will enjoy. Our entire company joins me in saying thank you very much for being with us, and goodbye until next week.